want to give special welcome to the Piper family.
Amen.
Now, when I first met Brandon, I knew he was a unique individual. He and I were both born in Ohio. We were both Amen. So we bonded immediately and have been good friends. Amen. He was one of our primary electrical people at the airport. Very, very dependable young man. Been working for the city. Think you're out of the city now, aren't you, or no?
For now.
Oh, for now. Okay. All right. Well, I understand that. Amen. I had to get my hat as well, as y'all know. Amen. But we're going to move right along. Once again, we hope you are enjoying your visit here with us.
Yes.
Today, it is a blessing to meet the family.
Yeah.
Amen. I think she may have been with child at the time we were talking, so I didn't get to meet her at all. But in either case, I see the kids growing on up. They're looking great. Amen. Wonderful. So he's saying all right, too. Okay. All right. Amen. Well, we pray you are enjoying your visit with us today. We hope this won't be your last. Amen.
Amen.
We're a little kind of scattered here today. We normally have some others here, but that's the way it goes. Sometimes during the holidays, people are out of town visiting and all kinds of stuff. But as we say, we just enjoy every time when we come together. Amen. No matter how, whether it's a lot or a little, doesn't make a difference. I like to remind the church all the time that Jesus, his main focus was on just 12. Even though he ministered to multitudes, his concentration and his teaching was on 12. And because of the effectiveness of that, that's why the church exists.
Amen.
All over the world. That's why we're here today. Because how effective it was what Jesus did.
Amen.
In his first advent. And of course we celebrate that at this season, which we call Christmas. So I'm going to just give you a few ideas here. We won't try not to be with you too long here today. But some things came into my spirit as I prayed about this for this season here that we're in the midst of now. We spent our whole year, just to give a little background to our visitors, talking about learning how to love like Jesus. Because that's really the objective of discipleship.
Yes.
Is to turn your focus toward the world like Jesus did. And we know that's like way off the charts, something we could probably never ever do. But that's the focus and the focal point of what we do.
Yes.
And it's a good way to summarize what we do. We had the verse from John 13 that said, the whole world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one to another. So it's how we love on one another that preaches more than what we say with our lips.
Amen.
Although the gospel is a command, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so it is a command, but how we live and our demeanor, the way we carry ourselves, the way we interact with other people, all of that has a lot to do with it. In fact, it has everything. Jesus said, people will know you're my disciples because they see how you love on one another.
Love one.
See? You know why? Because it's real love.
Yeah.
It's not artificial.
Right.
It's not fake.
Right.
It's the real deal. We love each other because God loves you. And he has separated you. If you believe God, it's because he called you. Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I ordained you.
Yes.
So if you're here and you believe him, it's because he chose you.
Yes.
He formed you to be who you are. He made you the person that you are. And he continues to work on making us better men and women.
That's right.
Than we have been ever in life.
Amen.
And so we want to keep our spirit in the right place.
Yes, sir.
So today for our message, let's look. I got a few things I just pulled out, just a few thoughts I want to leave with you today. And for hopefully this will stick with you from now on and even through the holiday season. Genesis 6, this is a verse that we all know about here, Genesis 6 and 1, and you can stand if you're able, and if you're not, don't worry about it, and read this with me if you like. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Amen. That's the Old Testament scripture to the people of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now we want to read a couple of things. Let's just read number one of these two, and I'll talk about the other one in the exposition. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present with me, in me. Notice it says in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. That's very distressing that the Apostle Paul writes, but it's also true. You may be seated in the sanctuary. We thank God for the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And I want to use for a topic, receiving and abiding within the way of the Holy Spirit. And this is kind of a spinoff from my study from our Sunday school lesson that's going on. We have a special study we're doing, for those of you who are not aware, from a book by Charles Haddon Spurgeon called Holy Spirit Power. And I was thinking about that and how that relates to where we are as men and women in Christ in the 21st century. Very interesting, because we can see that man has had a problem for a long, long time. The problem of being in the flesh and being prone, therefore, to do fallen things because of the fallenness of our nature. And we can see it. This one example is probably the most extreme, perhaps, in the scripture from Genesis 6. And it says here that, it said earlier before this, just to give a little background, that God saw that the violence and the evil in the earth was only, it was getting greater and greater. As men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, it says there. And then daughters were born to them. And it says that the sons of God, that means people who were actually in relationship with God, proper relationship. Some people argue, does this mean angels? You may have heard that. And there are places in the scripture where the angels are referred to as the sons of God, like in the book of Job. In the first prologue of the book of Job, we see that it says that the sons of God came and Satan was in the midst. He came with them in the book of Job. So we do have a reference to angels. And I'm not trying to unpack all of that today, because that's a very great theological debate. But in either case, let's say whoever these sons of God were, then it says here, and daughters of men, the daughters were there, so the female species was there. And these sons of God saw the daughters of men. The other side of that argument, just for you to know, is that some people say the godly line of people. And I have a little trouble with that, only because the godly line is always the line that gets executed. It was Abel that got executed, not Cain. So, and then of course Seth came along eventually, it says, and became another godly line of people, because the Canaanites are considered to be not godly. And the only difference between the godly and the ungodly is, do you believe God? Are you willing to obey God? Do you trust what he said? Even if you don't obey it, do you believe it? Do you believe God has authority to speak over your life and to direct your steps? See, and there's always been two groups of people. They still exist today. People who believe God and people who don't. See, and you got a lot of people talking about God today. And they'll say God is all kinds of different ways. But do you believe God as he has presented himself? And there were even angels. The same thing happened in the angelic host. Remember that? Satan, all of them were there. You think all the angels would certainly believe God. He made you. But there was a group of angels who fell with Lucifer, the son of the morning, and decided not to abide in God. So you would think if you have all that power, all that authority, and you saw all the glory that God has displayed, that you would stick with God. But there is rebellion even at the highest level, and it filters on down even into the human family. So it creates a very interesting scenario. We see it in the cosmic level with angels, but we also see it on the earthly level where man wants to do his own thing. Started off from the very beginning with Cain and Abel. His own brother Cain slew Abel. And Abel was the one who brought God what God required, the firstling of his flock. See, he offered a blood sacrifice to God, and Cain put him to death because of jealousy, perhaps, because he had favor and he didn't. We don't know what was all the driving impetus, but there was a division between the people who decided to believe God versus the ones who did not. That goes on right up until this very second. So this text says the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And of course, we call the women the fairer sex as a result of that. And they are, that's true. And so we give credence to the word on that. Yet the days of his years, God says, I'm only going to put up with it for 120 years. Now, some of us are thinking, well, I sure would like to make 120 years. We have some people in the room that are getting older and older. In fact, everyone is getting older and older. But we have some very good aged people in our midst, some of our mothers and some of our deacons. And God is really blessing us in a good way to give us long life, which is something that he promises to the ones who trust him. Sometimes he's giving people long life for the other reason, that you don't trust me and I don't want to judge you.
Amen.
So I'm giving you time to hear the truth and turn around. See, so God's mercy is displayed in that process also. But God set a limit, is what I want you to see here, at that time. And he said, we'll make it 120 years. And of course, this is in the days of Noah, and the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It wasn't that he was so holy in and of himself. It was God extended him grace.
Yes.
He says, why? Because you believe me. Same way Abraham was saved, when we read about later in Genesis in the 12th chapter, says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So his faith in God was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, God put righteousness in his account because you believed me.
Amen.
But we see that neither Noah nor Abraham did everything perfectly. They still had the same struggle that you and I have in trying to live a righteous life in a world where people don't even give God much regard. There may be some of us who at some time in our life did not give God much regard. We didn't think it was any big issue to have anything to do with God. But we notice here, Paul, who in the New Testament, I'm skipping a lot of stuff here because I'm trying to get you somewhere here in a short time. Hopefully I can do that. Y'all know I'm not going to try to take you from Genesis to Revelation here this morning. But I do want you to get some ideas that you can take out the door and apply it to your life and to others around you during this, particularly at this time. So Paul, the apostle, you know, he was a hardcore unbeliever. I hate the church. I hate Jesus. I hate everything you all stand for. And I'm ready to get you put out of here.
Amen.
That was his attitude. This is my translation.
Yes.
He said, you all got to go. I'm holy and religious and all that, and I believe the law of Moses, and you folks are talking about grace, salvation by grace, and that's a corruption, and you got to go. That's how he felt. He said, not only that, but I'm in the highest religious office that there can be. I'm going to go to the folks over me, the council above me, the Sanhedrin, and get papers. And I'm going to the Romans, who are the highest governmental authority, and I'm going to get papers from them. And I'm coming down there to bust you all up over there in Damascus.
Yes,
I know that's right.
See, so he set out with that authority that he had gotten together and was going to come against the Lord. And y'all know what happened. We all know, most of you Bible scholars here. You know, on the Damascus Road, he ran into Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Actually, actually Jesus ran into him.
Yeah.
He came around him with a light that was brighter than the noonday sun.
Yeah.
And we think that's really bright, but in Damascus, if you ever go over the sea and see how the deserts look, I haven't actually been there, but I've looked at some photography from there.
Yeah.
The blazing sun in the midst of the desert is pretty bright.
Yes.
It's bright sometimes here in America. You look up and it's like, okay, it's a little bit too much for me to handle. That's why we come up with sunglasses and all that kind of thing. But can you imagine something to come in so bright that it overshadows the light of the sun?
Yeah.
Woo, that's bright.
Yes, it is.
And he fell from his beast to the earth. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Because that's the only one that could be brighter than the sun.
Yeah.
He knew who it was. He says, "It's Jesus of Nazareth, Saul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That one you hate that you're going to go down there and bust up the church he started? That's me." Of course, this is my translation. And he said, "Well, what would you have me to do, Lord?" Somewhere in between him saying, "Who are you?" learning that it's Jesus who you hate, and the fact that he told him who he was and he wasn't dead,
yes,
he could experience that mercy that God has for unbelievers.
First thing.
So the next thing out of his mouth is, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Service. How can I serve you?" He changed from "I hate you" to "How can I serve you?" In one split second, by the grace of God. And God went on to inform him, God the Son, that this is the reason why you were created. "Saul, I separated you from your mother's womb to preach the gospel to the Gentiles." Wow! That had to be a revelation. Think about it. And it was God the Son who gave him that revelation.
Yes.
And he said, "Well, what should I do going on down there to that church that you were on your way? That's where I want you to go. I want you to go to church, but I want you to go with the right reason."
Yeah.
When you get down there, guess what? They're going to tell you what you ought to do.
Yeah.
So now look at that. Y'all know I love that. Because what happened? He said, "I could tell you, but I'm not the one that's authorized."
Yes.
I've given that authority to my church.
Yes.
They will tell you what to do.
What to do?
The ones who you hate. You used to hate, you don't hate them now. Because I told you, they have my seal. They have my authority. They have my blessing. They have my grace, and I've given them the proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah.
So you go down there and let them straighten you out. The ones who you hate.
Yes.
Used to. You don't hate them now. And he's blind as a bat now, we know. And so he had to be led down there to Damascus. And Ananias, as you know, and I'm not trying to tell the whole story of Acts 16.
Yes.
But Ananias said, "Lord, you sending him down here, that one that hates us?
Yeah.
That's been busting up Christians?
Yeah.
Been putting them to death, locking them in jail, and all that?" God had to straighten him out.
Yes.
Now he's praying now, Ananias, so just receive him. And he did. Shared the gospel with him, baptized him, which is how everybody gets in the church. Nobody comes into church and skips baptism and skips understanding the gospel. There's only one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It says in Ephesians 4 and 5. So Saul came the same way we have to come.
That's right.
You got to come by the cross.
Yeah.
Trusting in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Believing that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible's promises that you shall be saved. In other words, God's grace and mercy now can be proclaimed publicly to everybody. And it's the same. It doesn't make a difference who you are. It doesn't make a difference what you have done. It doesn't make any difference how long you've been in opposition to God. How wrong you are as two left shoes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. If you try to figure it out, you may not get saved. But God has a blank check for you to be saved. And what I always say is, he doesn't care how you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are.
That's right.
When you have a relationship with him, he will begin to fix you up and make you become the man or woman he wants you to be. He will reveal to you the reason why I made you the way I did and what I need you to do for me. What I want you to do for me. God really doesn't need us at all.
No, I don't.
But he loves us.
Oh, yes, he does.
And he's given us authority. You know what? It was his idea from the beginning to give authority to man over everything he made.
Amen.
So he didn't change. When Adam messed it up, I still give man authority over everything I made.
Yes.
Think about that. So God doesn't take his hand back. He said, I love you. I did it because I love you. Made you in my image and in my likeness. Gave you dominion over the whole thing. Who messed it up? Was it God?
No.
Adam messed it up.
That's right.
And then people have had choice ever since. But the people who have chosen God and choose God still have the conflict because of Adam's transgression, that we are born in sin, as David said, and shaped in iniquity. So we have an innate problem,
yes,
that we have to deal with. And that's what I wanted to talk with you today about. How to receive. This is receiving, which is a process,
uh-huh,
that's in continuation.
Yes.
And abiding, which is a process which is in continuation.
Right.
Within the way of the Holy Spirit. How do we stay in the way of the Holy Spirit? I don't mean get in his way. I mean to stay and operate in his way.
Amen.
Slight difference there if you think about it.
Yes.
We don't want to get in his way because he's doing something. He's leading us. He's guiding us. But how do we stay in there? How do we receive him? Everything he has for us. And you know what? The work of the Holy Spirit, and I always like to remind the saints, is a progressive work.
Yes, it is.
Just when we're saved and born again, we're sealed, the Bible says, for the day of redemption, in Ephesians 4:30, that the Holy Spirit has sealed everyone who has believed. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation if you've ever received it.
That's right.
If you have received it, God sealed it right then and there.
Amen.
So how do I continue to receive what he makes available to me? And let me explain just a couple of things that God makes available to you. He makes available to you the revelation of his word.
Amen.
Because we don't understand this. God says, I'm done. I don't need to say anymore.
Yeah.
In all of time, I'm done.
Yeah.
How can he write a book and nobody's added to it since 1900 years ago, 2000 years ago, since, let's call it, since 90 AD, and I don't need to say anymore. I'm done.
Yes.
Everything you need is right here.
That's it.
This is fresher than CNN.com.
Amen.
Much more fresh. Much more revelation in here than you can get from any news feed on the planet.
Yes.
But you must receive it by the mechanism of the Holy Spirit. I hate to use the word mechanism, but let's just say it is a working operation that he does within every believer.
Amen.
He is there to perfect your knowledge and your understanding of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that, Jesus said this way, he put it this way, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, some people like to say set you free. No, we don't need to be set free. We need to be made free. So you must continue in his word. So that's why you have to continue receiving from the Holy Spirit, because he knows that we can't take it all in. I wish he could just zap me and boom, all of that's in there. It doesn't work like that. That's why he said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. As a manner of some, and some people think they can get by without hearing from God, without hearing his word. But he said this too, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the church is a viable teaching institution being led by the Holy Spirit to feed knowledge from God's word to God's people. And it's something we need, because we can't take it all in at one time. And even if we did, we don't walk in it all the time.
Right.
We stumble, we have our issues. And God will help each of you, and each and myself included, to sort through all the issues you have to deal with in life.
Yes.
And he's involved in everything and every aspect of your life.
Yes.
Whether it's your employment, your marriage,
yes,
your raising a family, your parenting. God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life.
Amen.
And what you'll find out is he has addressed everything we need.
Amen.
Y'all know this. This is not like some new revelation.
Yeah.
But it's by the revelation of his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to receive from the spirit.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And he's talking about his word being in there to become the catalyst of why we understand how God is and what God would have us to do. He says that you can ask what you will. Now that's powerful to me. I like that one.
Oh, yes.
If I stay in his word and get on his wavelength, find out what he wants me to do, then I can ask him to supply whatever it is that I need.
Yes. Amen.
To do what he needs and wants done.
Yes.
See, that to me, that's wonderful. So some of y'all heard of carte blanche and American Express. I like to get a Jesus blanche and a Jesus Express. So I can just say, this is what I need, Lord, to get this done for your church. See, so you start to not be centered on me and what I need, what I want. You know what I want for Christmas? I don't want anything. Really, in all honesty. I don't want any gifts. I'm not thinking about anything. I want more knowledge of the truth. I want my mission for God to be clarified. Now, if y'all send me a TV, I won't be upset. I'm just kidding. But I'm saying, I really don't want anything. I don't have like a wish list. And I won't be disappointed if I get up and I have nothing. You know, I wouldn't. I really would not. Christmas, they've added all that stuff to it. But I want to know, what does God want me to do? How can I be more of service to the Lord?
Yes.
How can I get him to open some doors to give me more latitude to reach more people?
Yes.
See, that's the stuff that excites me.
Yes.
How can I help some of these folk that are struggling and don't know God has given everything?
Yes.
There's no need for you to have any lack in your life. None whatsoever.
Right.
But why do we have it? Because of greed and all kinds of other stuff that man has is out of control. And we think we have an earthly solution for some of these problems, and there is none. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, didn't he? Why? Because he knew that there's going to be greedy folks. They're going to want everything for them and overlook people who have needs. He knew that. Although, is there a problem with the earth? Is there a short supply of anything? The answer is no. The earth is abundant. People keep telling us, oh, we're burning up the whole earth and earth is going to be destroyed. No, I'm sorry. It's going to be destroyed, but not the way you think. If you think what you're talking about, some global warming, wait till you go in that casket without Jesus. I'm talking about some global warming. Are you kidding me? Go in that coffin without Jesus, and you'll find out about some global warming. The Bible tells us that the earth and its works will be burned up.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean be reckless in the world either. I'm not teaching that.
That's right.
But I'm saying they go a little too far when they exclude God from the equation.
Yes.
That's why we have to be receiving and abiding within the way of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit has already outlined for me and you how things are going to turn out. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to wonder about it. It's in the Word.
Yes.
And God will reveal it to you as you fellowship with Him and stay in touch through the Word and through His church. Now back to Paul here. Let me go back there. That was a little anecdote. And I'll try to get to the end of this. So Paul says here, for I know. Now this is with proper spiritual revelation. He says, I know that nothing good dwells in me.
Nothing good.
That's an accurate assessment. You know, only reason I'm doing good is God interrupted me from what I was doing and showed me how crooked I really was.
Wow. Yes.
See, now Saul sees it too. He's now Paul, of course. He says, that is in my flesh. There's an inborn characteristic within us that militates against the good things that God has provided.
Yes, it does.
And we call that the flesh. Now, the body itself is not at fault.
That's right.
For that. Now, let me explain that. How do you know? You know how you know? Because it says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there's nothing wrong with the flesh. God allowed Jesus to become flesh.
Yes.
But fallen flesh has a tendency to militate against the truth of God.
Yes.
And so we need to be aware of that. So Paul became painfully aware of it as he wrote this letter. And the Holy Spirit bore him along to write, that is, he says, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. I want to do all this for God. But I have a defect.
Yes.
In myself.
Yes.
We have to acknowledge that and be painfully aware of the fact that we have a tendency not to obey God, not to do His will.
That's so true.
Not to seek His face, not to do it His way instead of doing it our way. So that's why we need to be receiving and abiding within the way of the Holy Spirit. This is an item for prayer. I have seen, and I'm seeing in this congregation, God working on people in a lot of ways.
Amen. Amen.
I see some people who were extremely timid, and they're becoming more forward and more bold in their proclamations. I see people being attacked by the enemy. There's a dark force wanting to pull you off God's course and stifle you from the development that God wants you to have. But you see all of that. You start to be able to see things in the spirit. There are some people who have more boldness for God than they ever had before. Because they're being strengthened by God's word and by his spirit. And they're continuing in prayer. I see people pursuing prayer a little more. And the prayer is helping and the study is helping. And all these things that are being led on by the spirit are helping. But notice what Paul says here. He says, for the good that I want, in 7:19, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. That lets you see how indelible the fall is in the spirit of man. You can really want to do right and find yourself stumbling. And it's not just you, even it happens to the best of us, we could say. And so it is a struggle. Yes. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, just let go and let God. No, resist that thing.
Yes.
Take a stand against it.
Amen.
And let the Spirit guide you. Let him abide until he cleans you up.
Amen.
And he will do it. He says, but notice verse number 20. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me.
Yes.
It's the sin that continues to make me want to militate and gravitate toward the unclean stuff that might be in my mind and in my life.
Yes.
He says, I find then a principle that evil is present in me.
Yes.
The one who wants to do good.
Yes.
Can't skip this. We got a lot of folk walking around acting like they're all pure and spotless.
Yes.
But this is the apostle who writes most of the New Testament.
That's right.
Yeah.
He says, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Why? Because the Holy Spirit changed my life.
Yeah.
Took me from being an enemy of Christ to being a friend and an advocate of Christ. So I agree. I understand that. And I agree in the inner man. But I see a different law in my members, the members of my body. Waging war. Do you see that?
Yes.
Against the law of my mind.
Yes, Lord.
And making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So this is a battle. If you don't know about the battle, guess what? You're losing.
Right.
If you don't know about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, you are losing. You need to be aware that there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And then he cries out here. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me, KJV says. NASB says, who will set me free from the body of this death? And there's only one answer. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, he says, with my mind I'm serving the law of God. But on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. That's a tragic report. It's not a license to do anything wrong. But it's just a reality check.
Yes.
So if you think that, you know what the devil uses it against you. He said, the way you're thinking, you couldn't be saved. There's no way you could be saved. So I'm glad that God, the Holy Spirit, revealed that even the apostle had the same struggle that you and I have, trying to do the right thing. So it's a good thing to know about the struggle. Stay away from the folks who are so holy they don't do anything wrong. They'll lead you the wrong way.
Yes, they will.
So we are ministers of the new covenant, just as Paul was.
Yes.
And we have to say what he says in 25, verse 25 of 7. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, Jesus is the only reason that anybody can be classified as holy.
Amen.
Because he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
See, he took on our likeness in order to fix what Adam broke.
Yeah.
And whoever trusts him receives his righteousness.
Yes.
And we're covered with a foreign righteousness.
Yes.
So here in 2 Corinthians 3, that's why Paul said all that. And I put this down as a subtext. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some others, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter. You individually are a letter from God written to the world. Did you know that?
Yes.
You are known and read by all men. They look at everything you do and say.
They do.
Being manifest that you are a letter of Christ. K cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. See? And not on tablets of stone, it's not like the old law, but on the tablets of the human heart. God has written his word and scripted it in your heart. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Now that we are, not that we are adequate within ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy or sufficiency is from God.
Yes.
Who also made us adequate. See that?
Yes.
So God is the one who gets the credit.
Amen.
As servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the Holy Spirit we must receive and continue to receive and abide in him. Don't let the devil or the world or the flesh shake you from your pursuit of the truth.
Amen.
And the word of God. Each person who is led by the Holy Spirit of God receives a new birth from above, which causes them to be able to see the kingdom of the living God. Nicodemus, you think, man, all the school you had.
Wow.
You come to Jesus at night. You say, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because nobody can do the signs you do except God be with him. We can see by your works what you're doing. Only God could do that.
Only God.
See? And Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the ability to see what God is doing in the midst of a corrupted and fallen culture is something the Holy Spirit gives those who trust in Christ. You have to be born from above.
Amen.
Each person who is being led by the Holy Spirit of God is becoming increasingly more like Jesus, who is the perfect example of all things godly and all things human.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Yes.
Not only everything godly, but everything human, what a human being should be.
Yes.
Think about that. He was human as much as he was God.
He was.
St. Athanasius, I think it is, writes the Athanasian Creed about the two natures of Christ. Christ was 100% God.
100%.
At the same time, he was 100% man.
100%.
Only person like that.
Yes.
Right. See? And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive God, the Spirit. And he's in there with old corrupted Fisher. He's in there abiding with him.
Yes.
And he's there for the purpose of me receiving from him and to teach me to abide in him.
Yes.
That's why Jesus said, I am the true vine and you are the branches.
Yes.
If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll teach you how to do this thing.
Yes.
So the battle between the flesh and the spirit begins upon the new birth and continues all the way to the grave. Where ultimately the Spirit declares victory even over the grave. So we're not done. He declares victory even over the grave.
Yes, Lord.
That's why Jesus had to be crucified and be buried in the tomb to fulfill the scriptures.
Yes.
Because God had written that this would happen. And then death couldn't hold him. I told y'all in the Sunday school this morning, he had to also go there and say, Death, give me the keys.
Yes.
Because you have them illegally. You have the keys illegally. So I take the keys. The death and the grave. One day he's going to unlock all of that and reveal to us something that we have never, ever known. But death has already been swallowed up in victory.
Oh, yes it has.
He put that right in the middle of time.
Yes, Lord.
So that all men would know that there is an answer to the problem of death.
Amen.
And we always like to say Confucius didn't know that answer.
No, he didn't.
Buddha did not know that answer.
Nope.
Nobody. Now, these folks, come on, Allah, start naming folks. Why are you in the grave then, Mohammed?
Still in the grave.
Because you don't have the answer.
Right.
One person had to answer. There wouldn't be a church had Jesus not gotten out of the grave.
That's right. Amen.
So it's two groups of people on earth, those who trust Christ and those who don't.
That's right.
But God doesn't want there to be a group who doesn't. He wants the group who does to tell them the gospel.
Yes. My Lord.
While they have time, he's giving them time. Turn around.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Forsake whatever it is that you have some trust in and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Yes.
So we are calling men and women everywhere to believe the good news. And you know what? It's not really bad news. I don't know why are you rejecting the news. Saul had the same problem. So did I. So did you, perhaps. So just realize that we want to receive and abide in the will of the Spirit. And we want to invite you today, if you're here and you are not saying. We invite you right now and admonish you and pray for you. Trust in Christ.
Trust in Jesus.
The scripture says there's one way to be saved. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 12 and 30. He who is not with me is against me. You're either with him or you're against him.
Yeah.
Two groups in the whole earth. Just two. Either you're with him, you're for him, you believe him, or you're against him.
Yeah.
Somebody says, oh, I haven't decided yet. Well, you're against him.
Yeah.
If you don't trust him, you are against him.
Yes.
That's what he said. I didn't say it.
Amen.
So we admonish you to be saved. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love the proclamation of the gospel.
Oh, yes, we do.
Because it is good news.
Model.
That you can take a wretch, an undone wretch, and give them by your grace,
yes,
and by your mercy,
thank you,
free salvation.
Thank you, Father.
And you prove that you are the one with the answer, the only one.
Yes, God.
Because after 3 days and nights, Jesus rose with all power.
Oh!
And so, Father, at this time, we celebrate his birth.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Father, for raising him out of the grave so that we know the truth about who has authority even over death and the grave.
Yes.
And, Father, we thank you for the free salvation you have entrusted into our hands. And, Father, we ask you, let us distribute it throughout the world. Everywhere we go. As the song said, everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. So, Lord God, we ask you to help us this season, Father. Father, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your word. We ask a blessing on everyone that is receiving your son for their own self right now, Lord God. And we ask that many who are blinded by the wicked one, that their eyes would be open before it's too late. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name,
Jesus,
we pray. The church said together,
amen.
God, a hand praise.
Amen. If you're here today and you do not have a church home,